This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm here as usual with Susan. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hey, Rabia. I am fantastic. Let's go with that.
I know you're saying that completely sarcastically. Or no, are you not?
Oh, I'm being totally sincere. What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm glad that makes one of us. All right, so how's DC doing nowadays? What's going on over there?
How would I know? I'm stuck in these four walls all the time.
Are there still protests happening in D.C.?
There are, and I'm glad to report they have been better about social distancing from what I've seen. Okay. In recent days. Really, after that big Saturday protest, it was fine again. But on that point, it's worth pointing out, we now have initial results from the COVID spread from the protest.
Oh, God.
Because we're now about 2 weeks in, so we'd start
That's to see true.
Some results. Mm-hmm. At least in Seattle, of protesters who chose to get a test, so not the general protest, like people who were there at the protest and said afterwards, oh, I'm not feeling great or I'm extra cautious, let's get a test, 1% were positive.
Hmm, really?
Yeah.
That is much lower than like even general. Like I know in Maryland, like whenever there's been, with testing results, it's been like 7 to 10% positivity rates in the testing that's been done. But it could be because a lot of the testing is being done by, well, in this state at least, by people who in the past were just like not feeling well, and so there's a reason they're getting the test. I don't know.
We know what the protester like rate has been, which is not surprising because, again, the protests were outside in hot weather. People were moving all the time. Almost everyone was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So I am relieved to see the results, but I'm not that surprised. What I want to see is what the results are for the officers who were there at the protest. And I feel like that's going to be a much sadder story because they were in a fixed place, not moving. Mm-hmm. People talking to them for 8 hours at a time, and none of them were wearing masks.
Right.
So they actually were in danger, and I'm sure the results would not be as fortunate as they've been for the protesters. I'm just hoping they're not actually that much higher.
Not wearing I remember seeing some who were wearing masks. And I remember that one little contingent of people who were like, nobody could tell where they're from, what agency they came from. Those people were masked.
They were almost certainly BOP, and they were riot police. Which
they had masks, right? If I remember correctly. No, I don't remember.
Some had like spit shields they'd wear as a riot officer if you're trying to go in for an officer. They didn't have like actual like mask designed for COVID purposes.
Yeah, the rate there, I mean, it would seem logical that it would be a little bit higher, but still hoping that it's not. But I'm looking at, the John Hopkins coronavirus website. It's like this live site that, we check periodically. And One of the most horrific things on here, there's this little map in the middle of it, in the middle of all the data, and it shows like, all the continents in the world. And the continents are gray, but if there's coronavirus on that continent, there's like dots, red dots. Well, all of the United States is just one big red splotch. All of it. This is one, it's not even dots. It's just completely red from like the, just the tip to the top. And then when you move to Canada, you actually start getting, it's like circles. It's like blips here. You can tell, okay, there's Ontario, there's, maybe Montreal, but it's mostly gray. Even Africa looks, Europe is also very, very red, but North America is like, no, we got this. South America, I'm surprised, actually does have, we've been hearing a lot about the spread.
Bearing the brunt of this. They are definitely in a hard spot right now.
Yeah.
And I still think part of this is due to chance, but on a larger, when you get the accurate effects, it's not. And what you can see in America compared against the European Union, which is larger than America in terms of population, the EU got their rate. Like they actually ended the first, you could truthfully say the first wave ended there.
Ended, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The US just is on this plateau and it's starting to creep up again.
Girl, we're just riding the wave. We're going to keep riding it. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see waves. I think it's just going to stay like that until we have a vaccine. So right now...
That right now is like the ideal scenario. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, look at Florida, look at Texas, look at Arizona.
Yeah. We are at 117,694 deaths right now in the United States that have been confirmed related to COVID. Speaking of these states, this weekend, Trump is holding a rally in a state that is experiencing a huge boom in COVID related cases, Oklahoma, right?
Yeah. Originally, his rally was scheduled for June 19th in Tulsa, which seems like an extremely poor choice. In fact, it was an extremely poor choice of places to have a rally at the site of the greatest like massacre of Black business owners and just the Black population right. in the U.S.
On Juneteenth, right?
On Juneteenth. And here's where I actually am surprised. Like, they chose the state. It's like a stupid, god-awful decision. I was convinced they were going to turn this into like some kind of like white power sign, like the okay thing, where they're like, oh, what are you talking? Why are all these liberals getting all so upset about this like nonsense thing about having this Juneteenth rally in Tulsa? And they were trying to like,
I thought he was going to launch his Stephen Miller, We Are All One in Unity race speech. Remember they were floating that he's going to do a speech on race relations?
I just hope they're trolling us with that. And if they were, it's a little bit funny. I'll admit that.
Well, they pulled back on that because the backlash was too much.
Is there another time you can think of where Trump pulled back on something like this? Like where Trump was doing something totally racist and he was like, actually, you know what? Let's do it differently.
Do it less racist.
I can't think of it. And he did this time.
I can't. I wonder why. I mean, that's not a great signal to his base, to the racist part of the base or most of the base.
They were having trouble getting enough people there to fill out the crowds. And they decided a Saturday rally might have a better chance. Maybe they just decided that actually this is not a fight they need right now, so let's just not even have it. Like, the same thing to do would be.
Yeah, maybe. Well, but they are still headed to Oklahoma, and I read today, or at least, I read today that there are officials in Oklahoma who are begging him to cancel the rally. They're like, look, we just do not have, like, the appropriate, like, it's going to indoor, or at least move it to another venue. Apparently, the governor of Oklahoma has been on the phone with him, listen, let's just try to move it to an open space venue. Right now, it's in a closed venue, which he says, I think it holds 9,000 people. He says that they have gotten requests for 1 million tickets, because sure, they have.
Probably have, because there was a dumb meme going around for people to like go and request tickets for this rally so that people can actually go attend it among like liberal circles on Twitter, which is insanely stupid because like, you Google like Tulsa rally and like more than half of the people, actually probably like 90% of the response are like, oh, it'd be a shame if everyone signed up for this rally so no actual supporters could go, which no, you dummies. The whole point of the sign up is not because you get a ticket to go there, because that's not how it works. The whole point is to like collect for their email list.
Yeah.
So I actually do believe them, but it's not because of the supporters wanting to go.
Well, it seems like there has been no change on this topic, though. He is going to be going forward with a rally, it seems like. Not just this rally, but Pence recently, I think just yesterday, said rallies. We're going to be having rallies. So just like looks like he's back in the game.
It's the only part of his job he actually likes. How can I take it away from him?
It is. Oh, God. And just imagine, after all these months, he's finally getting that audience again. It's going to be wild. Maybe keeping me crazy.
Rallies are indoors, and they involved sitting in a fixed place for hours on end.
Close to people.
And
in lines.
In lines. And they will at least be providing masks to people there, but they're not going to mandate wearing them. I'm going to guess that, like, most won't, and, like, really good odds that at some point Trump is like, don't wear a mask. It looks bad. Don't do it.
Yeah. He'll say, I can't see you. I want to see your pretty smiles. Beyond that, I mean, it is totally a COVID rally. And many of these people are the same people that we keep seeing videos of who are like demanding their constitutional right not to wear a mask for whatever, you know, live free or die.
Wear your mask. Everyone wear a mask.
Yeah, if you're going to the rally, don't go to the rally.
Don't go to the rally, but wear a mask in general.
Apparently, when you sign up for this, I guess, I don't know how it exactly works. There's a waiver that you will not sue the Trump campaign if you get COVID. I mean, it's just like, they know it's a risk. They know it's a risk. I think what's crazy to me is the fact that they want to expose their own constituents to this risk. Dude, those are your voters. What are you doing?
Yeah, but, okay, a few things. One, they're trying to, it's not the voters they care about so much, it's the economy. And they think the economy will be helped, and that'll help more overall than a few lost voters.
How is the economy helped through rallies? How?
It encourages people to forget the whole pandemic thing and just, like, embrace death.
Okay, Susan, that is, let's just play this out.
Let's say he convinces,
I'm not saying the
like,
logic is convincing. I'm just saying that's the logic they're using.
The people who are going to die have, like, two good weeks of, like, shopping or some shit before, or going back to work before, like, they get sick and they can never return to work or be part of the economy
2%
again.
Of the whole population dying is something it. The economy could possibly withstand in terms of, like, what's better for November 3rd, 2020.
Okay.
Susan, is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals?
I did watch 2 hours of Fox News tonight. They hate you about it. So, I mean, there's some self-sabotage going on there. So
you might, yeah, you might need to talk to somebody about that. All right. And that's where BetterHelp can help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and they'll match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
I need someone specialized in, like, hate watching Fox News. But BetterHelp has someone for everyone. And you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online.
All joking aside, really, many of us are really in, like, this kind of pressure cooker of stress. A lot of things are happening at the same time. And generally speaking, most of us in our lives still have to talk to somebody about something. But professional counseling can sometimes be out of reach.
Especially now with shutdowns and COVID and all that, and more reasons to be anxious. So,
yeah, and also because it can be expensive, but BetterHelp is affordable. It's much more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and they have financial aid available, which is kind of amazing.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily.
Visit BetterHelp.com/45th. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. This is a special offer only for 45th listeners who get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/45th.
There's a couple of big tell-all books coming out that are causing a lot of waves on social media. I saw you tweeting all day about John Bolton. Well, every time I popped into Twitter, at least, just tweeting out John Bolton. Let's talk about that. But also Mary Trump's book. It's Mary, right?
Is that oh, yeah. The Trump niece. He's going to sue her, too, because, of course, he is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently she signed an NDA. But
yeah, you know how that you're a sane, normal human being? You make your family sign NDAs.
Yeah.
I will be buying books. I will read both of them for our loyal listeners. But science. I regret my money is going to Bolton. But you know what? Mary Trump probably doesn't need it, and I'll buy the book happily.
I will buy her book because I support her. Well, I also support her effort to bring him to his knees. So what we know about Mary's book is a few things. Number one, apparently she is supposed to be kind of outing herself as a source for the New York Times on the Trump's father's tax return stuff. That happened, what, a couple years ago?
It was not that long ago. And, like, it should have been, like, the huge, like, groundbreaking administration-destroying story of, like, the decade. And, like, it barely got any attention. It was, like woof. And people are like, whoa, that's a big deal. Okay, moving on now.
Now, she is Trump. Is she Trump's older brother's daughter? Yeah. And he was the one who died pretty early, I think in his 40s. He was pretty young. And I mean, I've read that it was from alcoholism or some other, I'm not exactly sure. But and then they were in litigation for a long time, her and her siblings, against her father's siblings, which is Trump, his sister who's a judge, and then I think another brother.
A judge. Okay. She was forced to retire after the New York Times story.
That's right. I remember that.
He gave Trump another judge spot to fill. So, you know, I'm sure he didn't mind that too much.
Yeah. So this book also is supposed to include stuff that this sister has said about Trump, what she believes about her brother and his, his feasibility as president. Other than that, I think she's going to talk, you know, it sounds like it's going to be more of a kind of a character reveal. Not that we necessarily need it. But it's something, you know, I personally kind of wish it came out closer to the election. It's happening, I think, it's coming out, what, next month, July?
I have an intense interest just out of curiosity in the whole Trump family finances. So I'm going to read it for that reason, which not particularly relevant or germane in the current election cycle. But there's some fascinating and hilarious shit going on back there. So
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very entertaining, I think. And somebody's going to make the movie based on the book, and I can't wait for that either. But so let's talk about Bolton's book, which is, I think, there's some serious crazy-ass crap in there that I saw today. And I, well, we all hate Bolton anyways.
I know. Like, Jesus, Bolton, like, how do you go down in history as, like, the dude that everyone fucking hates? Like, that's an achievement. Like, no one's unified on anything right now. And, like, all of America, at least we have this in common. At least we have this one thing we share as a nation is fuck Bolton.
Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the most, I mean, there are many, many shocking snippets I've read today about the book for folks. There's people in media. I don't know if there are people in media who've gotten like a copy of the book already, like an early copy, or
the books are out. It's on next week. It's out. So it's already been shipped everywhere.
An injunction has been filed though, right? Against
the book being
published. A lawsuit has been filed. It is entirely pointless, but it's also an abuse of power. The Trump administration has sued John Bolton for breach of contract because he did not follow the process for getting preclearance to write a book like this, which is true. He did not. It was an extremely dumb move. But in terms of like stopping the book, it cannot do that because the publisher already has it and shipped it. And the publisher is not part of that contract with Bolton that he signed when he was in the administration. So it's not going to stop the book coming out. Like at best, what it could do is like make sure all of Bolton's profits are siphoned off and go to the U.S. government instead, which I'm cool with. It's fine. I have no real concerns about that.
What's the basis for the for stopping? Is it just that he signed an NDA? Is it I've read that it's because there's classified information.
Yeah. And it's really common for this to happen. Like anyone who's been like in the CIA or like high-level government that wants to publish a book like this, they go through this process. And often it's long and lengthy and bad and abusive or just like bureaucratic and slow. So that's common. That's how this often works. In this case, there's lots of signs there was bad faith abuses of that. But Bolton at some point apparently was like, YOLO, fuck it. Let's just publish anyway without getting clearance. So that's why he's facing legal troubles now civilly. And according to a few reports tonight, also potentially criminally, because now the DOJ is pondering prosecuting him for leaking classified information.
I don't care.
I don't really either. Like, I do want the book to come out. So like, that's going to happen. So it's fine. And if they prosecute Bolton, like part of me is like, oh, it's not a good precedent. But at the same time, Bolton also broke precedent. He also did something disturbing that in a normal administration would be problematic. So it's not like what he did is like, it's a hard issue because like this book should have come out. The administration was blocking it for bad faith reasons, but you can't have this kind of unchecked release of like the most secret intel gobbledygook that we have. I don't even know. Don't even care. If he gets charged criminally, I will laugh and I will worry about the implications for America's future later.
Well, but here's the thing.
He will not get prosecuted because to do that, they'd have to explain what parts of the book were true and that he has now published.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm going to say in order to make the claim that certain information is classified, you are conceding that it's true. Let's talk a little bit about some of the leaks, like some of the things. So one of the things this conversation that president.
Hands down the worst so far. And like, it's not that I'm surprised. Like,
it's tough. It's tough, which is worst.
Part of me knew that this was the truth. Like, we all knew this was true, but I don't think I'd seen any stories confirming it. Even though if like you'd asked me to bet, I'd have been all in on this. Trump told China that.
Yeah.
But it's even worse than that. He's like, y'all are building concentration camps for Muslims in China. Go for it. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Good job. A++. Good job.
So folks who are not that familiar with this issue for at least the last 4 or 5 years, this has been ongoing. I think it's been 5 years now, where China, in the north of China, where you have very large Chinese Muslim populations, has been cracking down under the guise of counterterrorism. Basically, they're building these huge concentration camps, sticking people in there, but then also telling the world these are not concentration camps. And it's kind of horrifying. So, you know, I, in my own practice, have been representing, clients from that region, for asylum purposes, which is also a big shit show right now in the United States, but that's a whole nother episode. So now a couple of things is horrifying about this conversation. Number one is that Trump, is telling him it's cool. Go ahead and do it. I would do the same thing. Apparently he said, I did the same thing, but also it's interesting that, the word, I don't know if the word concentration camp was used, but basically the premier of China is conceding that these are concentration camps, which is something he has fought. The official Chinese line has been like, these are not, these are re-education camps.
This is bold interpretation. So I'm not convinced that's exactly how the Chinese would have phrased it. Mm-hmm. But we know Trump was like, he heard the descriptions. He's like, yeah, totally, let's do this. Let's make total sense. Let's do it.
Yeah. But, okay, so he was also apparently pressuring President Xi to basically help him along with American farmers. He's like, I need you buying our soybeans, or right? Isn't that what he said? That's what happened? There's some conversation about trade with U.S. farmers because Trump desperately needed it in order to win the 2020 election.
So I at this point, what I've seen written about Bolton's book, I mean, a lot of it really is horrifying and big news in terms of like what it means for America's standing in the world. But a lot of it, it's Bolton and the way he's this entire book is just a pity party. It's him like, oh, I was so good and smart and brave and was so willing to go to war with Iran and no one supported me. Boo hoo. So like the way he writes things, like I don't trust any of it from that reason. I don't think he's actually lying necessarily. Like, I don't think Bolton is that. That's not where he's coming from. He's coming from the kind of like persecuted worldview where like this is how he sees the world. So I think some of that may be stuff that Trump said it in public. So the fact he said it in private, yes, it's important, but it's not like the big news of the century. Like, we already knew that Trump was like, oh, I'm going to make sure that my farmers taken care of because they'll vote for me. Like he tweets that like 20 times a year.
Well, yeah, that's different though than, I guess, pressuring a foreign head of state to help him win election.
What it means in context, from what I can tell, is that he's saying, okay, Trump's like, I will do this deal with you, but you have to take off the tariffs that hurt the farmers because they vote for me. So, like, I want this deal to be done in a way that helps my reelection prospects, which is bad. That's not okay. I'm not trying to, forgive that or, like, excuse it. It's terrible. But also, Trump has openly admitted he's doing that for years. So.
Yeah. There's also some, I saw something related to him suggesting that he would interfere in some criminal prosecutions as favors to dictators. I don't know exactly who. It's very vague.
Some of this was leaked back at the time of the impeachment proceedings when everyone was like, will he, won't he, in terms of Bolton testifying. And basically Trump uses the DOJ as favors to hand out to his totalitarian buddies. Like, oh, Turkey, you don't like what's going on with your dudes being prosecuted for what you're doing in Iran? Okay, you know what? I can make a deal with the DOJ. Once Obama's people are out of the SDNY, I can make a deal with you. And that hasn't been reported before. So again, not news. And still a big fucking deal. So like part of me is like, okay, why downplay that? But also it's not going to matter because that's where we are now. This is already known. It's out there. Republicans aren't going to suffer from it because, like, it is there.
But I will say this. I mean, like, in the shape and form that it was known was that it was, like, leaks, right? It wasn't like you had people,
it was leaks officials. Book. So, like, was, okay. I mean, now it's just Bolton's book, whatever.
Yeah. And I also read that Bolton suggested his book, or maybe it was an interview he gave, I don't know, that, gosh, President Trump should really be impeached for some of the stuff that he has to say in the book. And it's like, have you been dead for like the last like year? Like, what's going on here?
Like, he is despicable on every level. And he is the hero of the story.
Do you think, because the only way he could be valuable to me, at least, or to Democrats anyway, is that if he hurt Trump's reelection chances with, let's say, middle of the road, you know, lifelong conservatives who, you know, or on the fence about Trump. Do you think this could help in that way?
No. Where it's going to help is where he has shivved the fuck out of his enemies inside the administration. Okay. Like Pompeo. That's where the real impact will be. Because whatever he says, everyone hates Bolton. It's easy to dismiss their soundbites and Fox News. Like, oh, Bolton, who wants to sell books, said this stuff. And it's true. Bolton is trying to sell books. Like, he was not trying to do the right thing. Like, everyone knows he was not trying to do the right thing. He was not trying to save America. He was not trying to be a hero. He was trying to sell fucking books. So, like, those attacks will be true in that sense. So the things he said like that, that's not going to matter. The things that will matter is when he is spilling the tea about what's going on with the inside, you know, palace politics and all the stuff, all the shade Pompeo threw at Trump. That'll be out there. Trump will hear about it and he'll just hate every moment. Like, apparently at one point, like, Pompeo, like, wrote a letter in the middle of, like, his meeting and sent it to Bolton, handed it over, and
I
was like,
oh, I heard he wrote, like, a little note, like, you're passing a note in class.
Yeah, and it's like, everything Trump says is bullshit. I'm like, wow, that is the dumbest note ever passed in class, but still, Trump will hate it.
Well, you know, Pompeo will just say it's a lie and Trump will know it's not a lie.
Others will know it's not. And Trump inside the White House can ask people and some of them be like, yeah, actually, that did happen.
Well, do you think Pompeo will last this administration until just January, I guess is the question then.
I think so, because they're not going to want change ups, but it will cause a lot of a dissent in the ranks and it's going to definitely fracture. Well, like I say that as if it's going to matter because like, everything's so fractured in there anyway. Yeah. But if you want drama and like fun palace intrigue, this will definitely help. So I don't even know if that's going to help the world in any way, but Bolton will cause that to happen.
Okay, so he'll ruffle a lot of feathers. I'm sure there are people who were around Bolton who are very nervous about like what could be in there about them. And that's all fun.
Like, I actually trust Bolton not to be...
I don't think he'll make shit up. I don't think he'll make stuff
he's
up.
Not because that kind of lie. To the extent he lies, it's not in that regard. And he is very meticulous and very boring in his own personal worldview. Like, the whole book's going to be like, oh, I was right all along. But he's not going to just make shit up. I don't expect that out of him.
I'm trying to figure out because, I mean, Bolton is a figure who's been in and out of, like, our, you know, on the national stage for decades. And, you know, my dislike for him was so much more about his perspective and his worldview than about, like, catching him in lies. I don't know if there have been times when he's just outright lied and been...
He's not interesting enough to lie. He has lied before. That's not a thing he doesn't do, but, like, that's not his M.O. It's not his way of operating. He just really loves attacking people and wants to do it all the time. He thinks the way to peace and world prosperity is to just attack the fuck out of everyone. Dominate. Because that's who he is. He is very open about that. And, you know, him and Lindsey Graham are, like, soul brothers, but... In terms of like him making up stuff about Trump, that's not what he does. Like, that's not who Bolton is at any level.
And I'm thinking about, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, when I had to go through so much legal shit with when I wrote my book for Adnan stuff. And because the lawyers, the publishers, they checked everything. They're like, we want to make sure there's nothing in here that could get us sued. And I'm guessing that, I don't know whose publisher is it Simon & Schuster?
Yeah.
Yeah, that they would be also fact checking.
Bolton had so many notes to back it up.
Right, so there you go. I don't think he's worried about that. Did you want to talk a little bit about some of the SCOTUS decisions that came out this week? I only remember them vaguely. It feels like so long ago.
The Bostock opinion was issued, which is the case involving Title VII workplace discrimination.
Right. Big blow to conservatives.
Yeah, so this is a case that's been percolating for a while. This has been decades in the coming. Like, there have been so many cases that have tried to get here and reach this moment where the Supreme Court would hear a case about whether there is violation of Title VII, sex-based discrimination, if an employer discriminates against employees for being either gay or transgender. And this is probably naive of me, but this is not a case I really was worried about. There's lots of cases before SCOTUS that I have like feel this background constant anxiety about. This case was never one of them because
really
no, because it in terms of the law, in terms of how of what the answer is, this isn't one of the it's not a close case. It's not even a case. Like, the answer is so obvious and so logical to a degree that even this court, I didn't really think they would come out the other way. I was thinking 5-4.
Susan, there was a dissent. There was a very long dissent.
Of course there was. But, like, there are at least two votes on the Supreme Court conservative branch who, while very conservative and will go conservative whenever they can, they at least still both value their reputation as being intelligent people more than they value supporting conservatism or Trump.
We're talking about Gorsuch and Roberts.
Right? Yeah. And that, again, most of the time, that's not going to stop them. But like in cases where there is no other answer, they are not going to like do what Kavanaugh, Alito, and Thomas will do. Like that's their own.
They won't destroy the law to further their agenda, political agenda.
They won't destroy their reputations to further their agenda.
Okay. Well, okay, so the outcome of this ruling was that...
The question is whether it's a violation of Title VII for an employer to fire someone for being gay or transgender.
Right.
The real surprise, the real actual shock of the decision is that Gorsuch wrote it. Now, that I did not see coming. Mm. But he wrote it. It's a good opinion. Again, like, there is not really ambiguity here. So like
this pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, like it's just what you have to write. But I think his analogy that says it best is like, if you have an employee and they invite you over to their house and say, here's my wife, and he used the name Susan, I'm not gonna use that. Here's my wife, Deborah. And if your employee is a man, you're okay with it. But if your employee is a woman, then you fire her. That is sex-based discrimination. Like,
right.
Sexual orientation discrimination is a different thing. It has its own unique awfulness to it. But at heart, you cannot discriminate in the basis of sexual orientation without discriminating because of sex. Like, you just cannot. Logically, there is no way to do one without the other. And yes, like, discrimination because of sexual orientation has its own unique horrors to it. But, and those are not, under Title VII, that's not outlawed. Like, that is not prohibited. Discrimination because of sexual orientation is not a prohibited class. But you can't do that without also discriminating because of someone's gender. Like, if you are firing someone because they're fucking a woman, mm-hmm. it's because that person's a woman. So
right. You
can't do it.
Right.
So again, I was not surprised at the outcome. I was pleasantly surprised that it was 6-3 and the Gorsuch wrote it.
Right. Now, I also believe that this week SCOTUS still declined to hear some 2A cases. Is that right?
They did, and also declined to hear qualified immunity cases. So,
okay. So the 2A cases are gun rights, basically, cases. They're challenges to regulations.
Y'all, there's a lot going on right now. Let's just like not deal with Second Amendment stuff for now.
And the qualified immunity case, can you explain like what that what
that
is?
Qualified immunity is really important, and I think they probably didn't hear it because there has been some noise from Congress that they might legislate about it, which was stupid of SCOTUS because obviously they're not going to do shit. If I had to guess, that's why they declined to hear it. Because qualified immunity is, it says that like police officers who are sued for violent constitution can't be held personally liable unless what they did was under clearly settled law prohibited at the time they did the act. And by clearly mm-hmm. settled, I mean, did the exact case happen before that said very clearly, you can't
do this.
Shock someone in the testicles repeatedly just for fun, or you violate the Constitution. If that was not previously decided and you're the first officer to get sued for doing that, guess what? Qualified immunity says, well, we didn't know you couldn't do that then, so it's fine.
Yeah. Something else I saw, I don't know if this is concerning or not, but I can't help but thinking in the last few weeks, man, if there's ever a time to like totally attack United States. Oh yeah, there was like this attack that happened across the entire country. Just what, yesterday? It was the day before, DDoS attack. All these networks were down.
We don't know it was an attack.
They're calling it a DDoS attack.
We don't know like what was going on. I don't want to go there yet. So I know T-Mobile was affected because I had people who were trying to call me then and like they emailed like, I had some meeting scheduled and no one called, like whatever, it's fine. Good news for me, no one's calling for meetings. And they emailed like, why? I can't get your phone. Like, it's not connecting. I was like, what the hell? Found out later there was this whole thing where T-Mobile was down. But it does seem like from there, people were like, oh my God, Instagram is down, Facebook's down, it's all that. As far as I have heard anyway, the only thing that was really down was T-Mobile.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure I'm going to have to check with my daughter. She works in cybersecurity. She'll know the real shit. I just read the headlines. But I thought it was interesting only because... yesterday at the same time, around the same time this is happening, and this is not the first time it's happened, but, you know, here we are. A couple of Russian bomber formations have been intercepted by our Air Force near Alaska, second time this week. Not good. But this is the time, man. Maybe Bolton's got that in his book. All right, well, that's it for this week. We're keeping it a little bit short, but Susan, thank you very much for filling us in, and be safe and well, and keep your mask on and stay indoors for another week.
Catch you later, Rabia.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.